you know, violent crime in most urban areas, and Little Rock is certainly not an exception to that, occurs in concentrated areas. And in most instances, there's a relationship between the two individuals, being the victim and the suspect. That's what makes that dynamic so difficult to prevent, because as police, you know, I don't know when you have an estranged or an argument or some kind of confrontation with someone that you have a relationship with. So it's difficult for me to wrap my arms around when and where that dispute is going to take place. Some of the things that are consistent in those violent crime pockets is kind of that socioeconomical cocktail that you see in urban areas. Poverty, low academic achievement, single parent homes, drug addiction, mental illness, unemployment. All of those things are a part of the violent crime model, and those are the kind of the things that make it it necessary to need a holistic approach as to how you go about addressing that.
I know that the ceasefire program in Chicago, Boston, similar programs, and also recently in Philadelphia have been pretty effective in reducing gun violence of similar nature. Are there other cities that have models that you're interested in?
Great question. I subscribe to seeking best practices. There's no secret that some of the larger cities that you mentioned, they've had some success. They've also had some disappointments. I believe in looking around the country to see what has worked and then create a Little Rock model. The reason I don't believe in cookie cutter approach, and by that I mean taking exactly what Chicago did or taking exactly what Atlanta did, because the dynamics are different. The communities are different.
How do you think the police department can address relationships where there a great deal of distrust does exist, particularly communities of color in Little Rock?
First of all, I think you have to own up to your responsibility or your, involvement in what the where those historical scars came from. And I think you have to admit that. And then try not to create new scars, a working relationship, one that everyone in our community feels like that they are treated with dignity and respect, and they're given benefit of the doubt until they show otherwise. But if we treat everyone in that manner, I think those are some of the things that you start to build trust with. The other thing with trust is when we mess up internally, I have to hold our officers accountable for what they're doing, and that builds trust with the community if they know that there's a mechanism inside the agency that will deal with officers who are unprofessional or even criminal in some instances.
One concern that several community leaders expressed to me was that patrol division officers don't leave their cars when they visit neighborhoods, and that makes it difficult to develop relationships with neighbors. Is that something you'd like to make a change on?
I think that is low-hanging fruit. It doesn't cost us anything extra that when you're in that community driving through to get out and engage people in a constructive way. If the only time that the community sees us is when we're in enforcement mode, that is one of the things that creates kind of those barriers to where people don't trust you.
Since there's a growing Spanish-speaking population in Southwest Little Rock, you know, I spoke with a community leader from the Latino community who said he thought maybe there was one Spanish-speaking officer he could think of on the force. Do you have plans for outreach to bilingual officers?
I do, and I am told that we have it's either five or six Hispanic-speaking officers on the police department. And I know that we also have the capability through a company that we have a contract with, which I think is Language Line is the name of the company. When you call into 911 or our non-emergency number, there's a button that our communications department will press, and someone will immediately come up on the line to be able to speak with whatever language it is that person is speaking. So we have the means to communicate with folks. Recruiting Hispanics for the police department as it relates to employment is at the top of my list. We are at about 20% or so with African Americans, given that they're 42% of Little Rock. There's opportunity for improvement there. But we will certainly give it a lot of energy and effort in the days coming forward to ensure that we increase our minority enrollment.
And what are the qualities that you think are important in a police chief, and what qualities do you emulate in some of the mentors or seniors you've had?
Vision is very important. I think you have to have the ability to not only to have that vision, but be able to articulate and deliver that vision to the folks that you hope that will follow you to that destination. The other thing is strategic thinking, you know, that ability to see around corners for things that maybe some people may not see, but you need to be prepared for. Also patience. You know, the thing about any kind of leadership role, in many instances when we see things, we want to change them or fix them immediately or overnight. We don't have resources to always do that. Some of those things are very, very complex, and you have to understand that it takes time to have success in some of those areas. And then I'm just the main thing, I think, is just being a leader, you know, making a decision, rewarding folks when they are doing the right thing and holding them accountable when they step out outside of our value system. And then I think, you know, I think also there's kind of a biblical spiritual side to that you have to do what God has called you to do. One of the things that I'm always so emotional about law enforcement is I've always felt like that I'm doing what I was designed to do. So those are some of the things that I think are important for a leader to have.